Hey, this is Carlos Alves Rocky, and this is David Garcia from Reno 911. People are talking. They're fools, and you're fools if you don't watch the world famous shit show. Okay? So get on it. That's it. Quiet.
Nice, you know. They say, so what's your name? Joe. God bless you. What's your name? Joe. What do you got, the fucking flu? No, he works here too.
Welcome to the world famous shit show.
What's up?
It is middle of March. Is it the Ides or that's in a few days?
That's March 15th.
That means like death or something, right?
Well, it's Julius Caesar.
Julius Caesar, the Ides of March.
Beware. Yeah. It's what he was warned, like beware the Ides of March. Mm-hmm. And then there was the whole Et tu, Brutus scene.
As yeah, I don't know what any of that shit means.
What?
I don't know what any of that shit means.
You didn't read Shakespeare?
What's the matter? What was it? What's the matter, smartass? You don't know any fucking Shakespeare?
You didn't read any Shakespeare?
So it's us. Spencer's here. P.A. Sue's here. Hello to both these.
Hello.
What's up?
And Nathan is here, too.
Nathan is here.
Hey, everybody.
Nathan's returning triumphantly for like his third or fourth episode.
Welcome back, Nathan.
Thank you.
Third?
Nathan's local now.
I am. I moved to California for three things. The sun. A new job.
Uh-uh.
Working from home. And Disneyland.
No dice. Two out of four ain't bad.
Was it four?
That was three.
Yeah.
Was it three?
Jesus.
Oh my gosh.
No, you said
Shakespeare and math.
Well, it's good to have you here.
No, you said, hold on, fuckers.
He said he moved out here for three things.
Yeah, but then he listed four fucking things.
No, he didn't.
He said the weather, a new job.
But he's working from home.
I thought that was like a separate thing.
No. I have to work from home because.
Because of the quarantine.
Quarantined.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's good to have you
here. All right, two out of three, whatever.
In the studio.
That you're quarantined.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk almost obligatorily about the coronavirus.
Sure.
What's going on? Guys, what's going on with this virus?
Basically, all it's saying to do is like just do what you should do is wash your hands right now, you know?
Yeah, that's the recommendation we're getting.
That's all I was like, just wash your hands like you're supposed to.
And I like this like hashtag social distancing.
I like that. I'm a fan. I hope that sticks around after.
I hope so. I think it will.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to social distance myself.
Well, that's what we've been doing with technology anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
And now we're using social media to remind ourselves to stay the fuck away from each other even more.
Yeah, so we're going to become more and more like those people on WALL-E.
Yeah.
Never seen it. Is that a social... Is that like a satire?
That's it's a animated kids movie.
A social commentary.
With a lot of like...
No, but like shaking hands is like having sex without a condom now.
So I like that.
What's it like?
I haven't done that.
Yikes. Sue with a bomb right there.
You know what sucks is if you just like... Like if you're an asthmatic, let's say, and you're just like, you know, on the occasion, short of breath.
Yeah.
Now you're looked at like you're the fucking walking death.
Yeah, well,
it's true.
My mom has a lung condition, like it's called the A1 something, I don't know, but like, and so like she's one of the prime people.
Is that like the thing that
like she's got a chronic cough?
It's a deficiency, like an A something deficiency.
Oh, yeah, so like they have when the guy's speaking real fast on the pharmaceutical commercials, like the A1 difib, whatever.
Yeah,
the fuck
but
it's
she's
called,
fine.
Right?
Like she walks around fine, but if she gets like sick, it really affects her. But she works in Walmarts all around the state of Alabama.
Oh, she needs to take a hiatus.
I just like, don't go in. She goes, well, I have 120 hours of vacation time. Like, my boss said I could use that. I'm like, that's not vacation time. This is
your mother, because I find you to be very intellectual and intelligent.
Yikes.
Or at least relatively speaking, like in the room.
I think if you met me.
Is your mother like you? Have you fallen far from the tree? Or is your mother like as, you know, outgoing, somewhat knowledgeable, just about common sense, how to speak with to it. People?
She is, but she also, like, there's just stuff she just doesn't want to know. You know?
Okay, fine. Yeah. Fine. But not like... right?
No.
Okay, so because if you were anyone else and you said, my mother works in Walmart's around Alabama.
Yeah.
Certain connotation, right?
Sure.
Like,
no.
There are certain things where you go, holy shit, like, how fucking dumb could a person be to work in Walmart's around Alabama, right? Like, I'm just talking like...
She's a product merchandiser for, like, different... She goes around to different Walmarts and resets different... Whatever.
You know, if I were you... I'm just cautioning you. If I were you, and you're going into a conversation with somebody else about what your parents do for work, lead with that. Lead with the product marketing... whatever, not like, my mom's in Walmart's around Alabama.
How dare you?
Right? I mean, just go like, hey, she's a product marketer, not like, she's in Walmart's around Alabama.
That's what she does, though.
No, but...
You're talking about how I'm framing it.
Yeah, you're framing, yes. You're setting the stage for your mom to be not highly skilled, you know?
Well, I mean, I don't know. She's 60 now.
And she may not be highly skilled.
Yeah.
But give her the benefit of the doubt when you introduce her occupation.
She's going to appreciate that.
Right?
Yeah.
You know,
I was framing it as in, like, it's a bad place to work while this outbreak is going on.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, she works at Walmart.
Okay.
All right.
Addendum. My mother is a product merchandiser that works
for Walmart. One of the largest retailers. How much better did that sound, Sue?
Are we working on elevator
pitches? How much better did that sound?
Let's church it up. We all know what we're talking about here. We're talking about Walmart.
Yeah.
Have you been to a Walmart in Alabama? No, you haven't.
Don't need to.
Yeah.
You know why? Because
what's your imagination?
Kind of fear
of it?
The people.
What's your imagination of it?
So I went to school in upstate New York.
Oh god!
A little town called Oneonta.
Oof.
Not great. It was it was a state school, and mentioned on the show 30 Rock.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, your daughter's gonna end up with an from a public school education from SUNY. Don't say it. Oneonta. Oh, God. And Alec Baldwin always faints. Yeah.
Classic.
Because it's... But we like to say that this town is on the outskirts of a Walmart in, like, central New York. That, I thought, coming from, like, near the city, that was a different world to me. Even though it was still New York, this was, like, middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
They sold shotguns. I think before that, I had never been into a store that sold guns.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I'm going to take the Oneonta, New York Walmart, and I'm going to multiply all the kind of... I hope that you take this in the spirit in which it's intended. All the trashiness about it, and I'm going to multiply that by about 15 million times. That's what I'm imagining with the Alabama Walmart. I'm sorry to anybody else from Alabama. That's just what, as a native New Yorker, that's my opinion.
Listen,
that's what I've been.
We know.
What am I trying to say? You're a lawyer. Help me out here.
You just sound really
like we're raised. No.
It's true.
The rest of the country.
Yeah. How Alabamians say it, uppity. You sound real uppity.
That's
right
fair.
Now.
All right. One of you Yanks, city boys,
city slicker.
Yeah. This is because growing up, it's
Andy.
Like, hey, we're fifth in education, and then look at the bottom of the list, and it's always going to be like Mississippi, like all the
I'm a testament.
That's
to
why
that.
I had to start this whole conversation with. You're a very intelligent person, you know.
Yeah, thank you. I made it out. Alabama's a great state. There's a lot of great things about it. It's institutionally and economically depressed and repressed.
Sure.
Yeah.
But That's what we, as I, as a native New Yorker, that's my impression of Alabama.
Yeah, I think you, why don't you ring that thing? That bingo. Yeah, you got it.
All right.
All right. So we're rolling. Back to the coronavirus. So my mom has this condition as she works into the one of the largest retail stores in the country.
Yes.
And so she's been wearing gloves. She's working around all sorts of folks, as you can imagine.
Does she wear a mask when she's
not
wearing
yet. It? I just told her to leave work today. I said, Mom, just leave. And she did.
Does she have to wear the blue vest?
No. She's
see,
not.
That right there. You could have just started off with, don't worry, she's not one of the blue vest people.
Listen, I don't have these uppity...
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry if I'm being uppity.
Notions.
I'm concerned about how your mother markets herself.
You know what? She's going to appreciate this a lot. Thank you for
clarifying.
She's
in marketing. Her son can't even market what she does.
And she's going to call you and thank you personally.
We are not talking about
this is
most important part in the world. This conversation. Your mother works for Walmart, the largest retailer in the world.
Right.
Yeah.
Can she get us some toilet paper?
Can she get us product merchandise?
She works for Advantage. They do different products like Unilever and...
She get us tampons?
Sure.
Tampons?
Why would... do you have something to share,
Unilever? Isn't that a... hygiene product?
Well, they also make other things like hair product, all sorts of stuff. And then she does displays for ice creams, all sorts of fun
I love it.
Stuff.
Sometimes you sound like when you're listing things, you remind me of Kenny Powers from East Van Down.
Yeah.
All kinds of ice creams and tampons. We're having a cookout, all kinds of macaronis and cheeses.
Yeah. Jesus, my mom's gonna hate this.
Is your mother a fan of the show?
She was asking. Oh my God. I was just out telling her about it today. She goes, "Well, I want to listen."
Just tell her, "Hey, Mom, there's no new episode up."
I know. She's gonna be thrilled. Anyway, so I just told my mom to leave work today. It's the roundabout story. She got in her car and she left. Which I hope her employer doesn't listen to this because now I just thought about that. Anyway.
Okay, hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I'm glad that your mom left and she's fine. And
I don't believe you when you say that.
Well, like, I'm glad.
You say it like, no, I'm glad your mom.
Well, does she listen to the show? That's my main concern. I want the listeners of the show to be safe.
She will not because she's safe at home. Yeah, she's going to be listening.
The podcast is available at home.
That's the best thing about this.
Well, who knows in Alabama, you know what I mean?
That's true. You uppity. All right. No, she's good. She's good. She's taking care of herself.
Okay,
that's good. I'm glad you gave her good advice.
Yeah, that's what I'm good for.
That's awesome.
What the fuck is going on though? Because, like, I usually when it comes to people like the public freaking out, I don't drink the Kool-Aid, right?
Yeah.
Like it's like, oh, this is gonna be the worst, and then that amazing phrase that they use for everything. It's gonna get worse before it gets better. Yeah. Of course it is.
Yeah, but who's measuring?
Have you ever heard?
Or if you're a fan of The Dark Knight, the dawn is always the dark. No, shit, I fucked it up. The night is always darkest before the dawn.
Right. It's not. It's actually not.
Yeah.
Or unless you mean just in the grand scheme of things, sure. It's the darkest part is before dawn.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard anybody say in any situation, oh, it's going to get better before it gets worse? Maybe sex, I guess.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
Before you go crying on your way home,
yeah,
it'll get pretty good.
That's
it'll get pretty bad.
Yeah, it's the only thing I do. The longer I do, the worse I get at it. Yeah.
It's sort of like golf.
It means nothing, though. Like, it's going to get worse before it gets better. Oh, thanks for the fucking tip.
Mm-hmm.
Like golf, I feel like it's opposite.
It's going to get better before it gets worse.
Yeah, because then you create all these habits. And, like, I always start off playing golf really, really well. And then the more I play, the worse I get.
Yeah.
That's usually how practice goes. How do you get worse at something you're working on?
Well, perfect practice.
For me, that's like painting. You know? You start out, you pop the can open, you pour it in a little strainer thing, a little tray. You get the roller all nice and sopping wet with paint. You get a few strokes on there, I go, fuck it. It looks good.
You're already bored?
Painting stresses me out because it's all about prep work. And if you don't prep right,
it's mostly
you're
prep.
Gonna...
I can't. I gotta go. I gotta dive in. I gotta go fucking hog on it.
Because things will be going fine, and then you'll get a piece of, you'll get some paint where it shouldn't be, and then you try to get it out, and then you just smear it somewhere.
And then you do it another place.
It's like the coronavirus, it just spreads.
And then you move.
Wow.
Yeah. Right. You go, fuck it.
And then you just move.
Yeah.
You paint it a different color.
You know who we need for this coronavirus? Bob Vila. Where's he at?
I don't know how to fix it. You know who we need?
Who?
Bob Ross.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because they'd be like, oh, my God. Somebody cut a fucking, or raped a bat or some shit in a market in China.
That's not what happened.
How did it happen?
Yeah, I don't think it was bat rape.
There is bat rape. There is a BH6 biohazard.
Please, no means no. No means no. Sorry. Go ahead.
There is a what?
There's a biohazard lab, which we like to call BHL. Six is the highest level lab that you can have that has like the very infectious diseases. Mm-hmm. And this disease is a very infectious disease.
If it's not infectious, is it a disease?
Yeah. There's different levels. HIV is not airborne or anything like that. That's like a level 3. This was in a level 6.
Try telling my uncle that.
My uncle Peter North.
What?
I'm kidding.
No, but this is in a level 6 lab in Canada, and two Chinese doctors. One.
All
right, there's a H6 lab in Canada. That's a Chinese lab in Canada. Two mm-hmm. Chinese doctors, one of which studied at Harvard, was working on this.
Hold on. The room is spinning.
He's working on this COVID-19 bacteria virus. I mean, it's not bacteria, it's a virus.
What do you mean working on?
Well, they try to develop vaccines for different viruses, and COVID viruses...
But
like,
somehow it got better before it got worse?
No, they sent it over to China because they wanted to quarantine everybody in Hong Kong. This is a bio... warfare.
Up next, okay. Alex Jones.
Hold on. So what was this guy's fucking mission here? Like, what was his...
He's working for the Chinese government to get rid of all the people protesting in Hong Kong.
That's what the...
Cool.
That's what the skinny is on that?
Yeah.
I think it's the bat suit.
Do you subscribe to that theory?
I read the report from the State Department.
That's what that... Oh, okay. I had no idea. That's what that is. Yeah. I had no idea. I do know that Bob Ross, if we could just reanimate him, he would be... We just have a... Have a happy little patient right here.
Yeah.
Just get a little,
There are no mistakes.
Let's give a little truce.
There are no pandemics.
Little vomit right here.
There are no pandemics. We're all just sharing with our friends.
And here's a squirrel.
Sitting right there.
Yeah. He had a thing for squirrels.
Did he?
Yeah.
He had like pet squirrels and shit. He was really into wildlife.
Bob Ross was in the military. He was in the Air Force for a long time. And
imagine what, like, he was the guy they put the bars of soap in the sock and beat the shit out of.
Well,
right?
No, he was like, apparently he was a kind of a hard ass from what I read, but he became the soft spoken demeanor that he has now is because like he just blew his fuse in the military. I just don't want to yell at anybody anymore.
he was a drill sergeant. He was gunny. Yeah. What's your name, scumbag?
Yeah. What's your major malfunction, Private Pyle? Joker, shut the fuck up! And we're gonna
Private Snowflake.
Yeah. Is that a happy little tree over there? No, it's yeah. And the perms, I know I have random Bob Ross facts. The perms, he started getting perms because it saved money on haircuts. That was his way to.
He's got a point.
Trim down the budget.
$8,000 in paint and brushes.
And I think after a while, it just became part of his brand. And he just kept doing. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if they had.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine the military Bob Ross as a drill sergeant, like as the drill instructor at like a paint night event?
Yeah. Oh, I have imagined this.
What the fuck do you call it, sir? It's a happy little tree, sir.
I like the opposite of him just going through like a flashback. He goes, and we got Charlie over here. And there's my best friend Ohio, and there's his leg.
Yeah.
And 20 yards later, he has his other leg.
Aww.
And
I'm just gonna put a little boot there.
Yeah.
I'm gonna put a little boot with a foot still in it.
This is Yang Yang, the tiny Vietnamese soldier who helped us.
We're going to do this happy little tree, and we're going to put Charlie just sitting right up in there. Little Charlie Sniper right up in there. Yeah. And you don't have to, just a little shadow there. You just kind of sit a little...
Apologies for making fun of the Vietnam War, which is very horrific for a lot of people. But we hope that the interpretation of Bob Ross being there lightens the mood for everybody.
Do you think he was on the scene painting?
Sir, I made a mistake, sir! Bullshit! There are no fucking mistakes, faggot! There are happy little accidents!
Oh, man.
The joy of Vietnam with Bob Ross. That'd be great.
He's just painting.
It's weird how he just did come back into the whole, like,
There was always that sort of like cult following kind of thing, like that.
But they're trying to buy all his like.
Well, yeah. Once it came
pictures,
on Netflix again, like
they're not out there. They're all in a warehouse
in Philadelphia or something. Yeah, all his
and people like it is rampant on eBay and stuff. Like people claim to have a Bob Ross original.
He's gonna be like the Van Gogh of our time. Like
none of them are fucking Banksy.
Right. Yeah.
Like none of them are authenticated because. The people who run the Bob Ross Foundation have all of his paintings.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And he would, so there's basically like two or three versions of each of his paintings because he would paint it, it just like, as an idea.
It's like Julia Child's like before, after, and during. Like,
like this her first souffle like is fucking sunken in the pan. He would do one when he had an idea for a painting.
Yeah.
And then he would do it a second time to improve the technique. And then the third one he would do on the show.
Okay.
So they have all of them, though.
Oh, like there's
1,000, 2,000, and three of each of them.
There's 1,100 of them.
What do you mean an idea for a painting? He just did see, like, I wonder what scenic.
Well, because he would change the
Robert,
canvas.
Think, Robert.
Bob, come on. Thank you, fucking scumbag!
I have it
right here. Josh must have read the first line.
What?
Bob Ross painted three versions of every artwork.
Right,
watch
the documentary on him, Susan.
He doesn't read. He watched it on Netflix.
Sorry.
It was a YouTube doc, but
One prior to the episode for visual reference, one during the taping itself, and one afterward for instructional booklets, and they're all holed up in a Virginia warehouse.
Yeah, they have all three of them.
Wow.
So,
but some
I wish there was
now,
like a painting of where it is in Virginia, like a little painting, like a treasure map.
Some of them are in the Smithsonian right now.
We do like the
really.
Yeah.
What was that movie?
He's a national treasure. Bob Ross is a national treasure for sure. Yeah.
I always thought he was Canadian
because he was nice.
Because he said sorry.
Yeah. Man, he's way too.
He's nice to squirrels. Like he's got a perm. He's a good painter. Yeah, that chalks up as Canadian.
They're
I think.
In Herndon, Herndon, Virginia.
Okay.
Let's go. Herndon. Let's go.
Herndon. Anybody from Herndon, Virginia knows the whereabouts of this location, let us know. Get your hands on a Bob Ross painting for us and send it in. P.O. Box 11606. I'm kidding.
We should. That would be a good. That'd be a good screenplay. Right? That would be a good heist to pull
that
off.
Would be a good next National Treasure movie.
Yeah.
Stealing the Bob Ross paintings.
Do we have to steal, like, someone stole them and then we have to find them back?
That should at least be a fan film.
And maybe they're just, like, hidden amongst where they
were
painted.
Hello. You know?
Couple actors in here.
All right.
Lola.
I'm sure you get Nicolas Cage.
Now, you guys like heist movies, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. They're unavoidable for me. I can't,
love
like,
them. What's...
If it's a heist, I'm going to watch it. And the Ocean's movies, they could remake Ocean's 11 with the guys, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
Not that fucking pygmy thing they did after. But like 11, 12, 13. 12, I didn't really care for that
Nobody
much. 13
did.
With Pacino. Oh, they took my dime.
12 had Bruce Willis in it, though.
As himself.
I know. Yeah. That's so weird.
Okay. So now that we're... Moving along. Now that we have Bruce Willis and heist in the same sentence, okay. What a perfect segue,
oh,
isn't
wow.
it?
Look at that
to
happen.
Our shit show, shitty movie of the week.
Yes.
I stumbled upon this little gem because, as I said, if I see that there's a heist movie available for watching, I'm going to watch it. I see on... Prime Video, included with my Prime subscription. Hmm. So, free.
Shout out to Amazon Prime.
Yeah, hey guys. what's up, Jeff?
Alexa, say hello.
Hello, by Adele. On Amazon.
No. Now you're going to fucking listen to
not even Lionel Richie.
No.
Just
yeah, they just jumped immediately to Adele. Oh, there it is.
We're just painting a sad little picture here.
This is my friend Tex. Yeah.
This is a...
And I'm going to use his blood
I think
to paint the scene of when he
this is
got mowed down by Charlie.
Maybe being sang by maybe a chubby, chubby British chick.
Huh? Alexa, knock it off. Thank you.
Cool.
Back to
I'm looking and it's like, oh, Bruce Willis and Michael Chiklis from The Shield. Commish.
Chiklis.
How can you do better than this?
Yes.
I mean, this is falling just short of Ocean's 11.
Two of the
right?
best bald men in Hollywood ever.
It's
walk.
Like you took two ass cheeks and now you're putting them together?
Bingo.
So the movie is called 10 Minutes Gone.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, if you.
Is that a working title?
It worked in that I ventured into watching it.
Okay.
If you mean, does it have a context in the movie? Not really.
Okay.
Not really.
Interesting.
Okay, so I pulled out a scene or two where I just want... Now, you guys, you're familiar with Michael Chiklis.
Yeah.
Great actor.
Oh, yeah.
Right? The Shield.
Yeah.
He was Vic Mackey. Very believable. I felt like Vic Mackey, well, I didn't identify with him, but he was a believable character.
Yeah.
Dirty cop, the Rampart Division, that whole thing, right?
That chick, he was born to play that role. He was
perfect.
Yeah.
It's a show where you go, this is realistic. I like it.
Yeah.
Bruce Willis. The situations in most of his movies, a little out there, but he was a believable actor.
He was good at acting.
Right.
He can nail a scene.
That's John McClane. He was a New York cop who picked a bad day to quit drinking.
Yeah.
You know?
Come out to the coast, have a few drinks, you laugh.
Come out to the coast, have a few drinks, a few laughs. Little fist with your toes. What the, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Reason would stand that this would be a pretty well-acted movie.
Mm, yeah.
I'm glad you guys are sitting down. So here's the first scene, really, where... you got Chiklis and Bruce Willis. They weren't face-to-face. They're having a phone conversation. And I just want you to... Now, you guys sitting here, you're watching it. Those of you listening to the podcast now, you're just going to hear the audio. But you'll get my meaning when you hear the conversation. And there we go. And... Just listen to this phone call. This is after the heist. So Bruce Willis he's the heavy. He's the kingpin who hired hired the gang.
Yeah.
Michael Chiklis is like the leader of the heist crew.
So we're 10 minutes into the movie or 19 minutes
yeah.
And the heist is already over?
The heist was the All right, they had the first setup scene where they're like sitting in the bar. They each got a Boilermaker in front of them, and they're like, "All right." And then we get out and we go to the fence, and we get rid of the package. Right?
Was this a heist on a playground?
The person getting rid of the fuck you.
Okay, we go to the fence. All right, sorry, go ahead.
All right, so this is 19 minutes in. Michael Chiklis, they were getting away. Somebody cold cocked him in the back of the head. He's out for, one would assume, 10 minutes, and he gets back to his safe house. He's a little frazzled, and Bruce Willis calls him. He wants to know how this could have gone wrong.
Can we do this in person?
Where are you?
What the hell happened? This was a cakewalk, in and out in 10.
Maybe
we lost track of a guard.
Bad call, letting Joe run point. You guys are jinx. You should have let me buy him out.
I could have been a solid payday instead of this fucking mess right here.
Security detail changed. Some city was playing Dirty Harry.
Where is the rest of the crew?
I don't know.
Got my bell rung.
You don't know.
That crap ain't gonna cut it.
That crap ain't gonna cut it.
Who? Is he? That sounds like a baseball dad right there. What are you doing? Stay inside. Keep your eye on that crap. They're going to cut it.
Honestly, it doesn't even sound like that. It's like.
Yeah, it's bad.
What are they acting?
It's really badly written.
It's like this is how I envision the writer of the screenplay, mm-hmm. like exactly how he pictured them acting these lines out. And they're just like, okay, well. This is a quick payday. Let's just stick to the script. Kind of phone it in.
Yeah. It looks like Bruce Willis is reading his lines as he's saying them.
It looking over at a cue card.
That crap ain't gonna cut it.
That crap ain't gonna cut it.
He's your brother.
He's your brother.
This is the kind of shit that put him away the last time.
Right? Because you know in the guy, in the writer's head, he had all the backstories for all the characters.
He just didn't.
Just didn't bother to let the audience in on these backstories. Yeah. That's what put him away the last time.
What a treat for him, though. The writer's just sitting there enjoying the movie because he knows what's going on.
Oh, my God.
No one else does.
Right. The writer's sitting in Video Village. He's like, yeah, no, because the last time when his girlfriend sold him out.
His brother's a really bad guy. You have no idea what he's done.
Oh, my God. It was horrible.
Yeah.
There was blood everywhere.
There was trauma.
And then
everywhere.
He was arrested. He did 8 to 10. He got off on good behavior after 6 ankle bracelet for 18 months. But
they're like, I don't, like, oh, I don't
but
see.
But the people watching this have no fucking idea that that's what happened in your fucking head.
Right.
And you know the way he would convey this to the audience would be stupid exposition on a telephone call. So, like, he couldn't write the movie anyway.
This is the kind of shit that put him away the last time.
Yeah.
It's so unnatural.
Yeah.
Like, no, even it takes place in Cincinnati. And that's not the virus, guys.
So who did you say wrote this?
Who wrote this colossal piece of garbage?
His name's Kelvin Mao.
Kelvin Mao. And that's Chinese.
Okay. Mm. Yeah.
Mao.
M-A-O. That's how you say that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like chairman.
And, all right.
So Chairman Mao.
He's writing a heist movie.
Yeah. It's like it's an undergrad film class project.
Right.
He wrote just somehow got Bruce Willis and Michael Chiklis in.
He got some Communist Party money.
Well, he wrote it with somebody else, Jeff Jingle.
Who happened to be
JJ.
He wrote it with his writing partner, Google Translate.
Jeff, I know. What are catchy heist criminal slang talk?
It's like every heist trope ever, every cliche. And I don't know, I like, if you're Bruce
That's
Willis.
That's the kind of shit that put him away the last time.
This is the kind of shit that put him away the last time. You're Bruce Willis. You're a respected actor.
Yeah.
You're an A. Like, you're at the top of the list, really. Yeah. What the fuck happened here?
It does look like he is reading, not Chiklis so much, but Bruce Willis looks like he's reading off something as he's walking around on the phone.
Or like someone's Joe's whispering dead. In his ear the
no,
lines.
No knock to him. I mean, Brando did that and won an Oscar. So, you know, I mean, from The Godfather.
They were dialing it in. It was just like, all right, I'll get $20,000 or whatever. I don't know how much.
But Willis and Chiklis aren't in scenes together, so he could very well just, you know, read this all.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He doesn't have to act with
I'll
anyone else on screen.
Yeah, let us.
I don't want to completely. All right.
Let's get this continue a little bit more.
Sorry, Frank.
Sorry, Frank.
Joe's dead. This is the kind of shit that put him away the last time. Joe's dead. Oh, God, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. Now I feel like a dick.
But where's the money, you stupid old man?
You know, this is still business. What's the rest of the damage?
I don't know who's still in play.
What is it? Went straight by the numbers.
The alarm went off and we cleared the vault.
Where do you get a couch like that? it's like a pull-out.
101 shopping center.
It was it's like a pull-out sofa, but where the pull-out bed would be, this is a compartment fit just for the duffel bag.
I think that's a feature at Bob's.
They have to hide it from, you know, people who might not look in.
You know, I don't know if you know this, but Mathis Brothers sells couches all the time, and they're always having sales. Yeah. So.
I wonder what the budget was for this. So see if you can find the budget for it.
Where's the package?
Joe had it.
And all hell broke loose. I got hit in the back of the head and I got knocked out.
Oh, that's right.
How did you get out?
We took the secondary getaway on 5th Street.
Strangely specific.
Hold on. You took the secondary?
What happened to the primary?
We took the other car on 5th Street. The backup. The secondary getaway?
I guarantee the writer, right? The author of this lovely work of art was like, I want there to be a secondary twist. Maybe they have to use, the tertiary getaway.
No.
On 5th Street.
For sure. People are going to mess up that line. Let's just keep it secondary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, on 5th Street, And you're talking to the Kingpin. He wants to know where the bag is. Not where you parked the fucking car. How'd you get out? We drove.
Why does that even matter?
Okay? Why does it matter? Like, that line I would have cut. Being the editor, right. I would have been like, that line doesn't matter.
The thing of it is, Sue, if you were to cut all the non-believable dialogue from this movie, it would be the opening intro and then the end credits.
I'd like to take a hand at this. Can I download this and re-edit it?
Okay.
That'd be interesting.
And I forgot to mention this, guys. The opening of the movie, the intro, right, is one of those, it's one of those movies where, like, there's voiceover and, like, Michael Chiklis is describing, like, the different parts of a game of three-card Monty, right? There's the con, there's the mark, and then there's the guy who... The object of the game is to set up the mark to make him think he can beat the dealer.
Mm-hmm.
But then the con comes in, and then they take the whatever, right? It's kind of shit. Sometimes I'll have this thought where, like, I'll have like a description. So I'll be like, wow, that would go great in a screenplay.
Yeah.
And I go,
but how do I explain?
I don't know. Fucking wouldn't, because right. It would mean nothing.
Yeah.
That's what that is. It's a completely out of it's the genesis of the idea to make this movie, but then as the movie goes, it has nothing to do with what
it was. Christopher Nolan did it in The Prestige.
What was the beginning of The Prestige, though? Because that movie, at least, was kind of coherent and kind of stuck.
Well, they explain, like, the magician's process. You have the setup, the trick, and then the prestige, the reveal, whatever.
Right, right.
That's kind of like, I guess,
but the idea. But at the end of that movie, you can think back to the beginning of it and go, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's The Prestige.
Like, I'm saying he pulled it off.
But he pulled it off, yeah.
Christopher Nolan knows what he's doing.
Like, right. Kevin Mao doesn't.
Yeah, but Jeff Jingle does, or whatever.
Jeff Jingle.
JJ.
J Jingle.
It went right to DVD, but it did go to the foreign market where it grossed in
$8,200.
$299,000 in the foreign market.
Boy. Are you serious?
Damn.
It's
they
a
didn't
big,
crack $300,000?
It didn't. But I don't. I'm how trying to find what the pay, budget.
How much did Willis make on this movie?
I loved it.
Yeah, they're not giving me that. There's an email that you can.
They gave him a pen and
send
pencil
an inquiry
set.
To if you want more financials.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, continue on with this, please.
It doesn't answer my question.
Where's the case?
I don't know, Rex.
It did answer
probably
his question.
Probably whoever hit us has it.
The second.
You knew exactly where we were going to be.
Yeah. Your question was, how did you get out of there? We took the secondary parked on 5th Street. That doesn't answer my question. Well, I'm sorry, disappointed dad. Could you rephrase the fucking question then?
Then they left me there to take the fall.
It won't take long to ID Joe. Where are you?
Clearing out of my safe house.
Can we just have a normal conversation? It won't take long to ID Joe. Where are you? Hey, Look, you're asking me simple questions. I'm giving you the right answers.
Right.
What are you getting so fucking shouty about?
What? He took the hold up on Crenshaw. You were supposed to do that anyway.
He needs to get put down for a nap.
Someone's setting me up. Then Crenshaw's probably already compromised.
I feel like Crenshaw is like it's just a tropey.
I love how the Crenshaw, I think, is like a hotel or like a code name.
Crenshaw's
for it,
compromised.
All right, so just listen.
Sorry. And we're all sick. Thank you.
And
Higgs in the small 9x7.
Isn't that Bruce Willis? He's so angry.
Get your head on straight. Call me the second you hear anything about the case. You understand that?
That seems like a burden.
Wait, he doesn't answer that question and Bruce Willis is fine with it?
Yeah.
Do you understand me? Now
I have to call you when I hear something.
The perfect redemption for this scene would be if they used it in a commercial. And after that phone call, somebody walks in, maybe Julia Roberts, like in Ocean's 12 or whatever, mm-hmm. right? And gives him a Snickers bar.
Yeah.
And goes, hey, you're kind of grumpy when you're hungry.
This would have been a great Super Bowl Snickers commercial.
And then he turns into like Anna Kendrick. Right? It just turns into someone bubbly and right? Okay, so that's
Kristen
that.
Chenoweth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, his watch is broken. That is something they keep doing. All right,
it's 2019 that this movie is made, and Mike Chiklis still wearing a good old analog watch.
Somebody wrote, this is one of those Bruce Willis films where he charges $1 million a day, so the director gets him for one day to shoot enough scenes to properly insert throughout the entire movie.
So I read something. They shot all of Bruce Willis's scenes in his hotel. Like, while he was staying at the hotel for some other some other project, and they just filmed it on an empty floor in the hotel.
I can totally tell he's reading, like, throughout that scene. It's very obvious.
Now, I don't know if you guys know anything about fashion, but
I got a guy in Boston. The bank's a fucking
mess. Let's just take a look at Bruce Willis,
shut the place up pretty bad. Took out a bunch of damn cops in the process.
They're going to do a wide shot of Bruce Willis here.
I'm on it.
Okay. Bruce Willis is wearing a jack. Oh wait. That's not a good shot. But when you wear a suit, you just button the top button. The bottom button on a suit jacket never gets buttoned.
Right, exactly.
Especially not if you're a fucking crime kingpin who's got all the money in the world to pull off ridiculous heists like this.
Yeah.
He's standing there like a fucking schlub.
Yeah.
Like a kid trying on his dad's clothes.
Yeah, you're going to be a little savvy if you're, you know, a crime boss. But he says, this doesn't trace back to me. And she goes, I'm on it. And just walks over to
I'm
a
on
table.
It.
On his way to the morgue. Where's his brother?
He just got off with Frank. It's a rough break, but he's a pro.
Oh, this is the scene I was talking about.
Couldn't tell me a goddamn thing.
Isn't what I signed up for.
You've already made the deal for the hardware,
which was contingent.
Look at his suit jacket.
It doesn't fit him right.
It's a three-piece suit. The top button is open. The vest is buttoned. It's got no tie on, too, but that's another issue. That may be a comfort thing. The sleeves are too short. The jacket's too long. He's got the bottom button buttoned. The top button is like, look at that. Am I wrong here, guys?
No, it's bad.
No. All right, now there's another scene. Now you
guys
know
how we wasn't the crew or me.
Like, speak
the
just kind of colloquially.
That went sideways. Who else was after this thing?
Besides us,
Bruce.
Every law enforcement agency.
You know how we speak to. You'll occasionally have a guy who, in a movie, he's like the young blood. He's like the new guy. He's like hip and like he knows the.
The kid. He's the kid.
Yeah. He's like, hey, old man, don't talk to me that way, right?
He's the hotshot. Hotshot.
Right. He's good at what he does. He's a little, he's one of the younger guys.
He's a loose cannon.
He's a little firecracker. But
so do I think it is.
They have him on the crew. Something could go wrong with him.
Why would Rick send his cleaner here?
Fuck. Now, let's get to this scene where Michael
Chiklis
is breaking into an old warehouse or factory or something.
This plan was foolproof.
And
I
If someone hijacked it, it was one of us.
Even the subtitles are too much.
Dirt on everyone.
He gets to this door that's just somehow chained closed. It's not, the chain's not attached to anything. He takes out the tire iron, which, as we all know, every bank robber's best friend is the tire iron.
Yes.
He goes up to the chain, he gets it in the link, and that's enough to just get done. Okay?
Bingo, bingo, bongo.
Now you got this young blood here. As Michael Chiklis walks through the Visqueen, he, oh, so dramatic. This guy's cocking a gun, hiding it. He's gonna cock another gun. He's just walking around. Like he's doing the fucking shuttle run. Okay.
Wait
a
minute.
Why does he walk? There's clearly a cutout. Like, this is tattered. Like, you know, all right.
All right, so right, listening right now, it's some sort of warehouse. There's plastic sheeting hanging in
like the
Visqueen,
like at a supermarket behind the butcher department.
I've never seen this before, but Mike Chiklis is walking through these cutout sheets, and there's clearly one.
There's a couple missing. They're all ripped up to shreds.
Yeah.
So he could have easily snuck through the opening in the Visqueen without making a sound.
Yeah.
He decides to just go kind of car washy and walk right through the big noodle Visqueen.
Yeah, he got his bell rung. He's not thinking straight.
And not even that. Not even like trying to like slyly slip in between two of them.
Yeah.
Just walks full bore right through two of them, and they're draped over his shoulders, making all kinds of plasticky nonsense.
Going full Chiklis.
This guy's loading up his shotgun.
But doesn't the guy have like something, his earphones in his ears, so he can't really hear him?
Well, no. Are you thinking of
earbuds?
No, this guy is just
have anything in his ears.
No, he's just loading up the guns and hiding them at random fucking places in this warehouse.
He might as well chuck him across the warehouse the way he's placing them.
Oh, he's got the shotgun all loaded up. Yeah. Put that next to the shop room. Now he's going to just grab two more pistols. One, maybe second shelf on the workbench, one right up top. Just in case. All right, now the most important part of this scene here, guys, is the way this guy is speaking, okay?
Yeah.
Now, it was definitely written with the idea that this guy is that character. He's the young one. He's got a certain way of talking, like, you know, he's from the streets.
Yeah.
Jesus.
You'll find out very shortly that that's not how the actor read that role.
Okay.
Man, that sidearm for me?
I mean, just staying safe, man. How'd I know you weren't gonna bring the 5-0?
Anyone else here?
No, it's just me, brother. Hey, I know you weren't tight, but respects for Joe.
What the hell does that mean?
It's all over the news. We in some gnarly shit, Haas.
Ooh.
Now, Nathan, you have no acting experience, background.
None.
Nothing, right?
Absolutely none.
We in some gnarly shit.
If I cast you to say the line, "We in some gnarly shit, Haas," what character, like, close your eyes and picture who would be playing a character that would have those lines and how they would say them?
No one would say those lines.
Okay, yeah. All right. Thank you. You would think of like a, perhaps a hoodlum, you know?
From Texas?
Yeah.
Okay.
We had some gnarly shit, Hoss.
Right? Maybe Alabama. Right.
Yeah.
You know, he can't read too well.
Picked up his shotgun at the Alabama Walmart.
Like, you've been watching the news? We had some gnarly shit, Hoss.
And who says Hoss? That's a Southern thing, right?
Yeah, Hoss.
We in some gnarly shit, Hoss.
Yeah, that's right.
Not we in some gnarly shit, Hoss.
Did he say? Have you been reading the news, or did he say?
It's all over the news.
Oh, so it's all over
me, brother.
Here we go.
Hey, I know you weren't tight, but respects for Joe. It's all over the news. We in some gnarly shit, Hoss.
What the hell happened?
I can see the subtitles.
Hey, we cool, man. I covered my post.
Oh,
it's all
man.
Clear till things went postal.
What? Do you know what going postal means?
Oh, man.
Most millennials don't even know what a post office is.
I feel like whoever wrote this movie is like writing from a perspective of what people would say in like 2001.
This actor, I think that he's probably, like Nathan said, he's probably not familiar with what the phrase going postal means.
Yeah.
And it's like, going postal, does that mean it's not next day prime delivery? Like what?
right. Is that like a bad app that failed?
It was all clear. Yeah. It was all clear till things went postal.
It went Vine, bro. Ball, huh?
Joey and I were ahead of the clock. You were the one with eyes on Marsha. You tell me exactly what you saw.
Sitting on the guards when the fireworks started. You know how he rolls. Charlie Bronson had to check it out.
And Griffin?
Chilling at a security station.
Then what?
I got the hell out of Dodge when the alarms chimed.
So now they do a flashback.
I got the hell out of Dodge.
alarms chimed.
Who says that?
Okay. So got the hell out of Dodge. Another thing that this kid would not know to say. This would not be in his vocabulary.
That is vernacular. Yeah.
I'm surprised that Mao and Jingle knew that.
So is the guy... All right. So I'm going to get... I encourage...
Mao and Jingle.
Mao and Jingle.
The new Coen brothers. Brought to you by Mao and Jingle.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Coming 2021. Summer 2021. A new hit.
From
Mao and Jingle.
Willis Cage. Chickless.
Could you imagine the vanity card for that? Mao and Jingle.
Sounds like a cat cup. I don't know.
What is it like? What's that studio? Like A24 or whatever?
Yeah.
It's like A24 comes up on the screen. Mao and Jingle.
And it would you see their logo and you hear
Mao. Jing, jing, jing.
Meow with jingle bells.
Yeah.
Hat with the bell. Wait, ready?
Meow. How do you like meow?
All right, we'll work on it. Yeah. Hey, Mal, Jingle, we guys are working for you. All right. This guy, he's reading dialogue that just would not fit his character at all.
It's just more of that. It's more of that. Mm-hmm. There's a do we talk about the secondary getaway vehicle?
Yeah, we talked about that.
What the fuck? All right.
I kind of wanted to know what happened because the very beginning is a voiceover by Chiklis talking about the three-card Monty.
Yeah.
So I thought, a con movie, because those are cool. Like, con movies are neat. Like, they play with your head.
Sure.
But 10 minutes in, you can pretty much figure it out.
Well, can you?
Well,
because that's how Three Card Monty is supposed to go. You're supposed to think that you're going to win because some other guy is winning. But turns out that heist movie ain't worth shit. See what I did there?
Yeah, I'm going to lay a golden turd, and they're going to lay a golden turd, and I'm going to throw it against the wall, and there's my movie.
So basically the game of Three Card Monty here is... I saw Michael Chiklis and I saw Bruce Willis. Now, one of them was the con, the other was the assistant. I was the mark.
Mm-hmm.
I see this come up on Prime Video. Mm-hmm. I think, oh my God, this is an easy win for me.
Yeah.
It's Chiklis and Willis in a heist movie. Boom, I'm in.
Yeah, but that's been happening. Like, can't you tell by, you can kind of tell by the cover of like what's going on.
It's got the very generic sort
of... They say don't judge a book by its cover. You can judge a movie by its cover. I believe 100%
So you don't go Rotten Tomatoes right away?
No. No, you know what? I'm sorry.
You like to judge it on your own accord.
Yeah, I trusted the fact that Bruce Willis and Michael Chiklis were going to be in a heist movie. And I'm sorry, you were let down. I went out on a limb. I played that game of Three Card Monty with this movie. And boy... did I get suckered into watching a piece of shit movie? It got what is it on Rotten Tomatoes?
Zero.
That's the kind of shit that put you away last time.
That's the kind of crap that put him away last time.
This whole message is to you. This whole movie's message is to you.
Ooh. What if that was Mao and Jingle's, intention? right? It's all about a three card, like a game of three card Monty.
The audience is the mark.
You're the mark.
They fleeced people out of, what was it, $277,000?
I think it's like $299,000. Yeah.
Internationally.
Yeah, and that's 2019 dollars.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like, yeah. That's almost 300 Which grand
like,
today.
It's like 40 bucks.
No, but they made close to 400,000 in DVD sales and downloads.
You would make more if the DVDs were blank.
So they still haven't covered enough to pay Bruce Willis.
Still haven't
seen, yeah.
No, but there's a GoFundMe.
It's smart. This guy's doing it. This guy wearing gnarly shit hoss.
I'm sure I can just hear the conversation. Willis is like, "Do you got Chiklis?" And Chiklis is like, "Do you got Willis?" And they answered yes. Without having either of them.
More interesting though, like Bruce Willis has been around for a long time to take a movie like this. I mean, he's not worried about his reputation in Hollywood. He's like, right. How much? Fuck it. Yeah, like, I don't have to leave my hotel.
Hey,
I'm sure.
I'm going to be in Cincinnati for 3 hours. I'll do it.
Bring your little cameras. Bring that guy Texas Battle. There's an actor, by the way, named Texas Battle.
His agent was like, here, I found a script. There's a lot of character development you can do with it. Oh, really? Who's it by? Mow and Tingle.
No, Jingle.
Oh, Mow and Jingle. It means nothing. I'm sorry.
Mow and Tingle's a personal lubricant.
Mow and Tingle.
No, but we got Chiklis. No, we don't. Yeah, tell them we do.
Like new KY with benzocaine.
Yeah.
I'm going to give this movie. We have a scale of 1 to 5 steaming hot piles of shit. I'm going to give it a 6.
Wow, a 6 shitter.
6 shits out of 5.
Shit salute.
It's so bad.
Wow.
There's an extra pile for you to just step in.
I actually don't.
That is some gnarly shit, Hoss.
It's all over the news. We in some gnarly shit, Hoss.
I mentioned earlier, there's the subtitles are on while we're watching this, and you can see the guy's head dip at the comma break.
We in some gnarly shit.
Figuratively reading the script to Mike Chiklis.
And you know what else they messed up in the captions? Instead of using the single apostrophe.
Oh, they used the double. They used the quotation.
Yeah, so they didn't even get
legit. The guy doing the close catch, like, this. No one's reading this movie, I tell you that.
I'm not hitting that fucking shift button for anybody.
Any deaf person watching this movie is going to turn it off immediately.
If that's the worst part of the movie, like, I think this movie is so bad that it would be unenjoyable even to a deaf person.
Yeah. Oh, reading it's almost reading it and hearing
it. It's like their mannerism. Horrible. Like they're kind of that's the kind of crap that put him away the last time. That's not a Bruce Willis face.
Yeah.
All right, so that's that.